How do lumberjacks know how many trees they've cut down? They keep a log. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 160. This is Starting Sustainability, and I am your host, Kaylin Chenoweth. It has been a lovely 3 weeks off since the last time that we have talked. Hopefully you all have had a wonderful last 3 weeks as well. Probably some spring break vacationing, I would assume. I did initially take the entire week off to hang out with Corbin and the other two, but there was so much going on at work that I ended up only taking Thursday and Friday off, so my spring break got hijacked. We didn't really go anywhere or do anything too fun. We did some activities, just like weekend activities, not necessarily spring break activities. We really did just do things on the weekends, which normally we only do chores on the weekend, so it was actually kind of fun to have stuff scheduled during the weekends. The first weekend, that would be March 16th, we got a babysitter, and Channing and I participated in a 0.1K walk. This was a fundraiser for our local animal shelter, so we each paid $25 to participate in the 0.1K walk, which is not even one block. It's kind of a joke on how short it is, but basically you start off, if you didn't catch it, it was March 16th, which is the day before St. Patrick's Day. Therefore, you dress up in green and have a really fun celebration. Everybody takes a drink. Then we start walking across the start line. At the halfway point, which is literally 10 yards, we stop at the hydration station and take a refreshment shot. And then we finish walking another 10, 15 yards to cross the finish line, of which then everybody receives a free beverage at the bar. This was not a beer crawl. That was it. That was just those drinks. I personally do not drink, so that means I'm the designated DD. Channing, as well as our friends, got to take my drinks, which was extra drinks for them. So everybody had a great and wonderful time, and we raised lots of money for the local animal shelter. Yay! The next weekend, on the 23rd of March, again, we got a babysitter, which is amazing. I love having family nearby. The babysitters are my sisters. Anyways, we did an adult Easter egg hunt. We had never done this one before, and I was very excited to do it. We basically had to park at, there's a local church here that's pretty large. It's almost a mega church. There's like a school attached to it and everything. Anyways, you had to park there, then you had to ride a school bus out to the Boy Scout campgrounds, the Boy Scout camp. And it was the Boy Scouts of America who hosted the adult Easter egg hunt. Therefore, the money went to the Boy Scouts. Yay, another fundraiser event, which is great. So we did that. We rode out there. We'd never done it before. We rode out there. And as we're literally climbing onto the bus, and we see all these people bringing camp chairs. And I just looked at Channing and I said, they know something we don't know. Because we don't have camp chairs. Why do they need camp chairs for an Easter egg hunt? Anyways, we get out there and we're trapped out there and it is so cold. It's literally 30 some degrees. It is really, really cold. And you're just stuck standing there in some big open field. So all the wind is hitting you. And there's all these fire pits all over the place for warmth, but there are no chairs. So we got stuck standing while other people had chairs, which is great. They also had cornhole, which is a real big popular game in Indiana. They had tons and tons of cornhole, so you could play that. They had 4 or 5 food truck vendors that you could go and eat dinner at, which is great. We all got there at 6, like the instructions said to do, but the Easter egg hunt did not start until sunset, which was around 8:30, which means we were trapped out in that really freezing weather for 2.5 hours. That's the part that sucked, just standing there. And then there were two options. There was a big open field where you could see all of the Easter eggs and you could do that, or you could hike a trail on the Boy Scout camp area. And it was a challenging trail where it would be harder to find the eggs. And we opted to do that because we thought, look, we hardly ever get to go out and do something on our own. And we're young and fit and active. We used to go hiking all the time. And just what is the fun of walking out into a field and grabbing these eggs that you can clearly easily see? Like, there's nothing adult or challenging about that. We wanted the adventure and we signed up for that. So when it was time, you had to split into two groups, one group that went to the field and another group that went on the trail. By the way, this was 1,500 people. So this is a large gathering. So let's just say everybody divided in half evenly. That's around 700 people that decide to do this trail. We were not at the front of the trail. The people at the front of the trail got there about 2 hours prior and froze their butt off, and we chose to hang out by a fire pit and stay warm, which means we did the trail. You had 1 hour to find eggs from 8:30 to 9:30. At 9:30, you had to stop and come back and redeem the eggs that you did find. Every single egg had a ticket in it, and you would redeem the tickets. Anyways, we go and we hike this trail, and we search for an entire hour, and we did not find any eggs. They had 50,000 eggs for 1,500 people, and they said everybody could get 48 eggs, and we couldn't find any. So turns out we're really bad at this. And when we do it next year, we are not doing the challenge. We're going for the eggs in the field because we were very devastated. We did not think that we were going to get 48 eggs each. As the evening progressed on and as the hunt lasted longer and longer with zero results, we're like, if we could just get 10 eggs, if we could just get 5 eggs, if we could just find one freaking egg between the two of us, like, we will be happy about this. So it just didn't pan out, but we learned a lot of valuable lessons, and that was our adult Easter egg hunt experience. And then this past weekend, we planned a camping trip for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is our first camping trip because we tried back in December for Christmas, and that was an epic disaster. And at that point in time, we had notebooks with pages of lists, and we checked and double checked and triple checked to make sure that we had absolutely everything because we were going to be gone a whole week across the country. We would not be able to come back home and get anything, which then everything flopped. We came back home. We had to unload the camper in a hurry and then go back down to Texas. And when we came back, it was freezing weather. We basically just winterized the camper ASAP and just left everything out there and never really set foot back out in the camper until this past week because we were going to go camping. We started getting ready. We are getting excited. And it's also quite a mess because remember, I was supposed to take the entire week off for spring break, but so much was going on at work. There was a lot going on at work. So I had heavy work days that were long work days, and I work out of town for a couple of those days. I was home Thursday and Friday because I did take PTO, but the daycare was shut down and school was out. So I had all three kids with me, and I'm trying to be organized, but it's failing miserably. Also, we started going out to the camper to summerize it. So you winterize the camper, you pull all the water out of the lines, and you put antifreeze in there so that way it doesn't freeze and then bust up your pipes and your lines and stuff. So that's winterizing the camper. Then you have to de-winterize it, which means you have to get all that antifreeze out of there. That way you're not drinking antifreeze and get it prepped and ready for warmer weather. Therefore, I call it summerizing the camper. That is not the official term. The official term is de-winterizing it. But I kept saying summarizing it because that's what we're doing. And it was driving Channing nuts that I was using the word summarize in the wrong tense. And I just found it hilarious. So I'm doing it here on the podcast as well. We summarized the camper. And while we were out there, we discovered that all of the bedding, we left the sheets on the bed, they all had mouse poop all over them. That really sucks because I was not planning on deep cleaning the camper in addition to packing the camper. My thought was we wouldn't really have to pack all that much because everything was ready to go. Yes. When we came back from Texas and we winterized the camper, we put rodent repellent out there, these little sachet bags, and the other one is dryer sheets, like fragranted dryer sheets. We put those all over the place. We had to go buy dryer sheets because we didn't even own dryer sheets because we used dryer balls. So we went and bought dryer sheets specifically for this humane way to keep mice out of the camper and put them all over the place, and it did not work. And then we searched some more on the internet trying to figure out, like, how do other people do this? And apparently you're supposed to replace the dryer sheets every 30 days. We laid them all out in December, and it is now April. So that was our fault. And the end result was a lot of stress, deep cleaning the camper, washing everything, drying everything, remaking the beds, repacking it with three kids at my side. Channing was still working on those 2 days, which means that it really wasn't done efficiently. And we didn't even make lists this time around. We were just willy-nilly throwing crap in the camper. And on Friday, Channing's like, I want to leave here by noon on Friday. So I didn't even have the full day Friday. And once noon came, it was, are we ready yet? Are we ready yet? Are we ready now? What else do we need to do? Are we ready? Do we have everything that we need? No, honey, I'm not ready. I don't know what we need. I haven't figured it out yet. So I sat there and I thought, okay, listen, we have always gone tent camping. Just me with like growing up, just me on my own or with the Boy Scouts, with college friends, or even Channing and I have always done tent camping, which basically you just need beds. You need your basic toiletries, like deodorant, and food and a shelter, which is the tent. So I'm like, okay, as long as we can do that, we will be all right. The weather is nice. Fine. We got the camper. That's the shelter. Check. Basic toiletries packed. Yep. And we got food. Okay. Clothes are thrown in there too. Awesome. Anything else, we will be just fine. The purpose is to rough it, right? Okay. We will be just fine. We load up the kids and we take off. Oh, Ruger came too. He came with us. So the whole family is going on this adventure. And we drive to the state park that is 20 minutes away. We picked a place really close to the house just in case, which was really smart. That's the advice everybody gave us. Do not go across the country for your first maiden voyage for an entire week. Things are going to go wrong. Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they did. So this time, we are actually going to go camping close by and we're going to do it right. And we get there and immediately we start realizing all the things that we forgot that we should have packed. That's okay. That is fine. At this point in time, we did not realize all of the hand towels and washcloths and stuff were covered in mouse poop. We didn't catch that part. This is when we realized it. I'm like, oh, great. I have no way to wipe down stuff or clean stuff because everything has mouse poop on it. So there was one roll of paper towels in there. So we used that because it's all that I had. And I was really cringing. Every time I had to use paper towel, I was just cringing. I was like, seriously, I just need a hand towel. This is all I need. And we go to cook dinner Friday night, which we want to make it nice and simple. Hot dogs, beans, some chips. We got some fruits and veggies. We're golden. Okay, we got hot dogs. We pull those out. There is one marshmallow roaster that we're using. One roaster for the hot dog on the fire. Okay, we're going to share that because there's five people in this family. And we got one roaster. Awesome. I don't know where the rest went, but somehow only one got packed. We have a can of beans, but not a can opener. There's a problem there. I did eventually find a multi-tool hidden in our little toolbox, and I was able to use that to open up the beans. We got figured out, but we very quickly realized that only half of the food made it. Somehow, like, the meat made it in some basics, but the rest did not. We had a list of all the food, and I packed up all the food, and I thought Channing took it out because I saw him taking some of the food out, so I thought he got all the food. He saw me packing the food and assumed that I took it out, so we only got half the food. It was fun. Like I said, on Friday night, we made a list of things that we needed. So Saturday morning, Channing came back to the house and he got the things that we needed. So he got the towels and the washcloths. He got the rest of the food items and any all the other stuff was now taken care of. Therefore, we made it through the rest of the weekend just fine. But that was our camping experience. So it was, well, you know, it wasn't smooth sailing. We learned a lot of lessons. We went into it knowing we were going to learn lessons, and we sure did. We sure did. The value of a very thought out list, communication with your partner, and to not rush one another to speed up the process of getting out, because then you forget things that you need. And now you get to go back. So was it worth it to get there an hour earlier to now make a trip back to the house the next day? Probably not. But the boys did great. They had a wonderful time camping, rode their bikes all over the campground. That was fun. Ruger, our dog, not a camper, not a camping dog. Terrified of the fire, terrified of the smoke. All he wanted to do was be back inside the camper. Okay, we'll put you back inside the camper. It was very windy, and so the wind would blow so much it would whip around the camper, make that howling noise. So that also terrified Ruger, and he wanted out of the camper. He wanted in the camper, out of the camper, in the camper, out of the camper. That dog was just terrified the entire time. So sleeping at night, that Friday night, once we went to bed around 11 p.m., thunderstorms came in. Ruger also hates thunderstorms. So we're sleeping in the camper, and this dog, who normally sleeps in the bed with us, oh, he was in the bed with us. He was on top of us. He was on my head. He was stepping on our bellies. He was just all over the place. It was not fun. At that point, because this is Friday night, so we had our long list of everything that we forgot. We had a couple of little intense chit-chats of who was supposed to do what. This dog is robbing us of our sleep. We are exhausted. And I just rolled over and I looked at Channing and said, "Isn't this fun? Aren't we having fun yet? That's why we're doing this, right? To have a great time." I want everybody to know we're still married and we made it through and we're going to go camping again. But that was our first camping experience, and it was an experience. Easter Sunday was beautiful weather. It was gorgeous. We packed up the camper. Oh yeah, that was the other thing that we forgot. We got there Friday night and realized I forgot all the Easter stuff. The baskets, the candy, all of it. Forgot it all. So Channing did go and get that. Anyways, Easter Sunday comes around. We pack up the campsite. We slept in, we cooked, we had a nice breakfast. And then, you know, later in the morning, we packed up the campsite and we headed home and we left the campground. On the way out is the dump station. All right, now we have to dump all of our gray water and black water. And that was a process to figure out. The grand total of time was 40 minutes to figure out how to do it and the amount of time that it took for everything to wash out. Thank goodness there was not a line of people behind us. We got very lucky at that. Don't worry, we'll be much faster next time. It was just trying to figure it all out, but we got it. Overall, camping was great. It did seem very wasteful. I already shared about the paper towels, but the other part was the food scraps. We did not bring a chicken bucket, and so we are going to next time. We just have like a bowl or a bucket to put all our food scraps in, but here we had all these food scraps left over, and we don't want to feed it to our dog because he does eat some stuff, but he doesn't eat everything, and his stomach has been wonky the last couple of weeks, so we're really cutting out human food. Even though we had a big field behind us, you can't throw food scraps out in the field. You don't want to feed the wildlife. You don't want to attract the wildlife in a negative way. And we also did disposable diapers that weekend because the camper is not set up to spray out poop and stuff. There's not a whole lot of space in there. We don't want to smell the stinky diapers. So we just went ahead and did disposable diapers. But it just seemed overall very, very wasteful. And that's a goal of mine, is to figure out each time we go camping, how can I make this less wasteful? Because I was like, wow, we're here for Friday night to Sunday late morning, and I feel like we produced an entire garbage bag, like a regular kitchen 13-gallon garbage bag full of trash, where had we been at home, that would not have been the case. So it would have been significantly less. So that's something to analyze and kind of figure out in the future. If you have any tips and tricks for me on how to be less wasteful when going camping, please share them. You can get a hold of me through Facebook. Our Facebook group is Starting Sustainability. Just go there. You can make a post or you can send me a private chat. That's fine as well. That's the easiest because I have discontinued the Starting Sustainability email at this point because all it is with tracked junk. And the Starting Sustainability website, where you could leave a comment, I discontinued that because all I did was get spam. So much spam. I was over it. So just stick with Facebook. One method, one resource, keep it simple. In other news, I did finish my book this past weekend. I made it a goal to at least get one leisure book. So I felt like I was reading for everybody else, but not really things that I wanted to read, not the fun adventures that I used to read. It was more educational stuff on how to figure out life. And this one, although, so the book is called In Order to Live, and it's by Yeonmi Park. I don't know if I pronounced her name correctly. She grew up in North Korea, and it was so horrible that she had to escape North Korea. And it was about all of the hardships that she had to endure as part of the escape from North Korea to save herself and her family from starvation. It was that bad in North Korea. It's a great read. It's very fascinating. It was not the normal fun and adventure, but I really did enjoy reading the book, which is why I'm mentioning it to you. It was a good book. It was very eye-opening, and it makes you very appreciative and humble. We have a house with electricity and heat and tons of food, and we're going camping in a secondary house, basically, and we're wasting food. And I'm reading this book about people on starvation who are freezing to death. And it really humbles you. It humbles you. And it is a good read. And hopefully somebody here hears this recommendation and reads it and gets a little bit more attuned to what is going on outside of the comfort of our own homes. As I mentioned, it did rain over the weekend, and then it continued to rain and continued to rain to the point that the pond in our backyard, which is previously very, very low, has now filled up, is overflowing, and our yard is flooded. That includes about 4 inches of water in our chicken coop. Basically, it rains. Spots in our yard flood. Where the chicken coop is located is lower, and it's a coop that's on the ground because it's an old treehouse, so it's not on legs or anything, which is something that we wanted to do this past summer. We wanted to move the coop. That sucker's heavy. It took 8 people to get it where it's at. We were not able to get it moved. Our new solution is to throw down a bunch of cinder blocks and a piece of plank wood, plywood, and create a secondary floor. And that's what we've had to do. It will rain and flood about 4 inches, get super muddy and gross. All the chickens are just covered in mud right now. We're going to wait till the weather dries up a little bit and go out and clean them and scoop out all the gunk that is now in the bottom of the coop. All is good. The water is receding, but each time it rains, it kind of fills back up and then it recedes. And that's just how springtime goes in Indiana. Springtime in Indiana isn't just about St. Paddy's Day and Easter. There's another holiday coming up that we are all very excited about and looking forward to. That's right, Earth Day! Woo woo! So in preparation of Earth Day, I wanted to come up with something to share with everybody, and I racked my brain and I thought and thought and thought and realized previously, we've discussed like simple switches to help get you started. We've always talked about simple things you can do, really easy things to get you going. But this podcast has been going for 5+ years. Actually, I think it's going to be 6 years coming up in July. I'll have to double check my dates. But anyways, this is almost 6 years old. 5.5, 6. I sound like a little kid. Anyways, at this point, everybody's been around long enough that I think it's time to up it to the next level. I don't want to do simple switches. Let's talk about some more challenging switches that you can do. Let's really take it to the next step. I racked my brain and I came up with 15 things that you can do to go next level in terms of being sustainable and being stewards of the earth and taking care of the earth. Number one, a lot of people use Ziploc bags. The simple switch was to go to Tupperware. If you're currently using Tupperware, great, awesome. Next step, get some reusable takeaway containers and keep them in your car or keep them in your bag. And that way you can use them when you go out to eat or when you go over to friends' houses and you have potlucks or whatever. And you can use those containers for your leftovers. Number two, we all had soap. Maybe it was the liquid hand pump soap. So then it was get the refillable kind, buy the great big jugs of it. So you're not buying all these little bottles, reducing your trash. Then it was go to bar soap, right? And now the next step is to get barred shampoo and conditioner. I've done it. I really love it. I imagine most people here have at least thought about it or tried it. But if you haven't, this is your chance now to take this step and commitment to shampoo and conditioner bars. They can be a little bit expensive. I think people are afraid of the concept of a bar on their hair plus the price commitment, but it's totally worth it. And this is your chance. The third one is we went from a regular toothbrush to like an electric toothbrush. You had the disposable heads. I want you to switch to a wooden toothbrush if you're able to. They also have the wooden heads that you can get if you have an electric toothbrush. But now if you have not done so already, up your floss game. Instead of doing the regular dental floss, you can get floss in a glass container and you can get plastic-free floss. You can get a silk-based floss and you can get a mulberry silk-based floss. Those are a lot harder to find in the stores. In fact, I have not really found them in the stores. I've only found them online. But go ahead and check it out and give it a go. And the next one, number four, we went from dryer sheets to the dryer balls, right? Hopefully that one's a pretty cheap and affordable switch and easy to do. If you're already using the dryer balls, the next level up is to save all that dryer lint. What do you do with all that dryer lint? Save it all, and you can stuff it into little cardboard tubes, like the kind from like a toilet paper roll, paper towel roll, wrapping paper roll. If you've been listening to this podcast long enough, maybe you don't have any of those, but I promise there are cardboard tubes all over the place. You can take the dryer lint and stuff it into the cardboard tubes, and then you use those tubes for fire starters. Yeah, because it's springtime, summertime, it is time for backyard fires and camping season. Oh yeah. Number five is next A lot of people have a Swiffer, whether it is a Swiffer broom or a Swiffer mop, but it has the disposable attachments. So with the broom, it's called the dusters that you attach on and you sweep all over the place and you pull it off and throw it away. And with the mop, it's called a wet pad that attaches on, you throw that away. If you still have Swiffers, hopefully you don't, then try to find a more permanent washable cover. A lot of people have just made them themselves. It's pretty easy to do with scrap material, scrap terry cloth, towels, washcloths, things like that, hand towels. You can do that. But you can also just get rid of the whole Swiffer thing altogether. Get a real mop. Personally, I just got the O-Cedar spin mop. I didn't just get it. I got it for my birthday back in September. So it's been about 5 months. Before that, we did have a regular mop that I had to wring out with my hands and I did not like it, but I like this O-Cedar spin mop because with the old regular cloth mop, I had to have a clean kitchen sink. So if there was a mess, I now had to do all of that. I had to unload the dishwasher, to reload it, to have a kitchen sink, clean that, fill it up with water and the solution, dip the mop in it, and then go all over the house and come back to the sink every single time, which was super annoying. Now I have the O-Cedar spin mop, so I don't have to have a clean sink. I can just straight up fill up the water. It comes with its own little bucket and I can just fill that up with water. And the spin mop itself is a microfiber head. And when it gets dirty, I can take that off and throw it in the washing machine, which is amazing. This is not an advertisement for O-Cedar. I am not getting any money for this. I'm just letting you know that is something that I like. Feel free to get whatever the heck you want. My goal is to get people away from the Swiffer disposable crap. Just stop using that. So take it up a notch there. You can do it. Number six is cleaners, chemical cleaners. So switch away from chemical cleaners, get to more safe plant-based ones, but also refillable. There's lots of different brands where you can buy the refillable tablet. You put it in your cleaner bottle and then you just add water. That works for your glass cleaner and your kitchen counter cleaner and the floor cleaner, which is really cool. And so you can do that. It can be a little bit expensive if you don't want to do that. Let's try making your own cleaner. By making your own cleaner, you are avoiding all of the packaging. Even though it's a refillable bottle with the little tablet, you just have water, it still has packaging, plastic packaging. It's supposed to get shipped to the store, shipped to your house. You can remove those layers of basically trash, because that's what you're done using it. It all goes into the trash. You can remove that, the layer of all that stuff, and just make your own with your own products. Number seven, reduce, reuse, recycle. We say that a lot. Reduce what you buy, reuse what you have, and then recycle what's left. A lot of people tend to focus and get really excited about, oh, I recycled. I'm such a good person. And you are. You are a good person. Thank you for recycling. But a lot of times people recycle what is easy. They'll recycle whatever if you sign up for recycling to come to your house and pick it up, even then there's a limit on what you can put in your recycling bin. Recycle the harder items, recycle batteries, recycle electronics. You can have special recycling days, like your county recycling, not district, your county recycling company, waste management center, your recycling center. Wow, that was really hard. I am extremely sleep deprived and my brain is really not functioning well right now. Okay, so go to recycling center. There are people in charge of that and they will host, hopefully you can reach out to them in person, on the phone, online, through their website, but they will have days set aside for the harder to recycle items. Check those out and take advantage of them. Utilize them. Number eight is a writing utensil. Before we talk about you write with a pen and you have to throw it away, you should switch to a pencil. It's wooden. Once you're done with it, there's like a teeny tiny little nub of the eraser and that little metal thing that holds it on. That's all that's left. So it's reduction in the volume of trash, not the mechanical pencils because those are plastic. And when you're done with those, I mean, they are refillable. So if you keep them forever, but if you have to throw it away, that plastic doesn't go anywhere. That's why a wooden pencil is really nice. So that's tit for tat on that. As an adult, I'm learning that I can rarely write with a pencil. Everything I do, especially work-related, needs to be done with a pen. And we tend to get cheap pens, like the, you know which ones I'm talking about. And when they run out, you toss them in the trash. We get them cheap because we have to get a bulk of them at work and everybody uses them, they borrow them, and they don't return them, which is really stealing. And they go walking for sure. Take the initiative to get yourself a nice pen with refillable ink. We can get new ink to replace the ink cartridges. Gosh, my brain is still not working. Cartridges is the word I was trying to find. Get yourself a nice pen with refillable ink cartridges, replacement cartridges, and do it that way. Previously, we talked about rechargeable batteries. This is number 9. So instead of getting batteries, using them, hopefully they make it to a recycling center. A lot of times they end up in the trash. Get rechargeable batteries. But now, let's shop for rechargeable items. Did you know they make rechargeable flashlights now? I'm not even kidding. Channing and I signed up for that adult Easter egg hunt. It takes place at night. We had to bring flashlights. I hunted all over this house. And I know that we have flashlights and headlamps from when we went camping 10 years ago. And I could not find them anywhere. I could not find them anywhere. I found a couple of teeny tiny flashlights that would work, but they weren't great, not for hunting in the dark. Therefore, we went to the store and we were trying to get flashlights because we were out of time. I was like, look, I don't have any more time to find these flashlights that I know that we own and these headlamps that I know that we own. I don't know where they're at and it's time to go. So we went to the store and we bought new ones, and they have headlamps and flashlights that are super powerful that you can plug in and recharge. That way you don't have to do the batteries, which is awesome. So look for items that you don't even need batteries for. You just plug them in the wall and recharge the item. Yay! Number 10, when you go shopping, reusable bags. That one's really simple. A lot of people have that. But what happens when you go shopping online? Because more and more people are going online shopping, so the reusable bags aren't really getting used as often, are they? It can be really tough, but I want you to go through the efforts of requesting sustainable packaging, plastic-free packaging, for when your item is delivered. And I know you can do this with Amazon because I've done it, so I don't get the plastic Amazon package. Everything comes in a paper or cardboard box. And you can do it with any online retailer. If they don't currently offer it, start requesting it. This is where it's the next level, because it's effort to have a conversation with their help desk or to call them or to send them an email to just simply ask, hey, I enjoy your store, I enjoy your products, I was wondering if you can have or come up with some type of sustainable packaging for your items. I would really like that as a customer. And just let them know. And the more of us that do this, the more feedback they get, and they realize that this is what consumers want. And that's how we make a difference, by going the next level up. Okay, I got a few more items here. Number 11. Instead of donating clothes to a secondhand store, because honestly, a small percentage are going to get bought again and go to another human to wear. Majority of clothes that are donated to a secondhand store, especially adult clothes, they end up getting shredded and turned into carpet, or like they don't end up being clothes anymore. They end up getting manufactured some other way or end up going to the landfill at the end. How about if you've got nice clothes, instead of donating them to a secondhand store, you host a swap party? I've done it. It's been lots of fun. It's a blast. Put some rules and restrictions and guidelines on there, because you'll have somebody come like with their entire house. So let them know you were in charge of carrying it. Have a swap party. That way you can help find a new home for your clothes and find someone who's going to want to wear them. Number 12. Here's even more. Next level. Here's two levels up. Don't buy brand new clothes. Don't buy brand new clothes for an entire year. That's where you host swap parties and you get extra clothes. You can go to secondhand stores and get the clothes that you need. But really challenge yourself and do not buy clothes for an entire year. Let's see if you can do that. These are meant to be hard and they're going to be hard. And a lot of people are probably cringing right now at cannot buy new clothes for an entire year. Now you can make rules. You can give yourself guidelines and permissions. I did this. And I did it for the whole family, and I said, okay, we're allowed 5 items, because that accounted for socks, underwear, bra, swimsuits, shoes. These are items that are hard to find used, still in good condition. And honestly, things like used underwear, used swimsuits, like that's kind of weird. A little bit of a heebie-jeebie there. So you can give yourself guidelines, but really restrict yourself. You have a closet full of clothes. I know you do. Utilize what you already have. And if you're bored with them, then get creative on how to style them. Or modify them yourself. Add some flair, add some buttons, add some designs, paint them, dye them. You can do that. Oh yeah. They have kits at craft stores on ways that you can modify your clothes. So if you don't know how to do it, go get one of these kits designed for adolescents and kids. If they can do it, you can do it. Number 13, if you are hosting a gathering, whether it's for a party, celebration, holidays, whatever, No paper plates. No paper napkins. No disposable cups and utensils. It's going to be extra effort, but you can get real dishes, cups, utensils, cloth napkins, and you can wash them. It is going to be a little bit of an extra effort. It could be a financial commitment, but honestly, if you go to the right place, you can get some of that stuff really cheap. You can get it used really cheap. It might not all match, but that's okay. Eclectic stuff is really becoming trendy. You just need them all to be the same color. So you can have 10 different plates, but as long as they're all white, if they have a little bit of different designs, that's fine. They all relatively match. It's still good. It's still great. You're still saving the earth. Awesome. If you've got a lot of people coming, like 20, 30 people, yeah, bring your own. But if you just have a handful of guests, then you can do it. But if there's going to be a lot, tell them to bring their own. They will. People are excited to save the earth. If you're excited, they're excited. Number 14, reusable bags. We talked about that, reusable bags at the grocery stores. Next level, reusable produce bags for the grocery stores or the farmer's market. And another step after that, shop for naked produce. I know we've discussed a lot of these already, but it's kind of fun to do a recap on these hard challenges and really monitor yourself and see where you're at. Have you been doing these challenges? Have you thought about it but didn't? Maybe you forgot that these were challenges? That's why I'm bringing them up. And then the very last one, reuse gift bags. Okay, a lot of people do that, especially when you get the little paper gift bag and tissue paper, they save it, reuse it. That was one step, a simple switch. All right, to make it harder, upping the challenge here, let's get cloth gift bags and practice furoshiki, which is where you have a gift and you wrap it up in cloth. You can do a bandana or a really big piece of cloth and you tie it in fancy knots. You can watch YouTube videos to kind of get some guidance on how to tie up different packages. But practicing furoshiki is really cool. The cloth bags, my mom makes them. We've got some. You put the item in, you pull the drawstring, the end. And if you don't want to make them, and if you don't want to watch the YouTube videos and learn the special skills for furoshiki, honestly, a lot of stuff that we buy comes in a cloth bag, and you can just save that. When you get jewelry, it comes in a little velvet bag. Save that for the next time there's a tiny gift, and use that bag. Bottles of alcohol will come with cloth bags. Crown Royal is one that comes to mind where there's a cloth bag. Save that and you can use that. I've purchased frozen tamales at the grocery store and they came in a cloth bag and you better believe I saved those. So there's lots of natural cloth bags with a drawstring that you can accumulate from your regular shopping. Just save them and utilize those. And that's the whole list. Well, I shouldn't say that. Those are the 15 items that I came up with for today. There are tons of challenges. I've got almost 6 years worth of challenges that you can do, but I thought these tend to be the harder ones to do, and I think this would be a great start for you to really take it up a notch for Earth Day and incorporate one of these if you have not done so already. It's time for the challenge because we've already discussed like 15 of them. So here's another one. I want you to tell other people what they can do to help be a steward of the earth. When you talk to the average person who's not focused on sustainability and you say, hey, today's Earth Day, and you might even discuss like, what are you going to do for Earth Day? And they might say something like, oh, I'll buy a plant. I'll plant a tree. I'll get a twig and plant that. I'll put seeds in the ground. That saves the earth, right? Well, I mean, it helps, but there's a lot of other stuff, like everything that we just talked about, you can now share with them. Depending on where they are at in their sustainable journey, if they are brand new, never really thought about it, obviously give them the really simple switches that we know. And if they are kind of right there with you and you're having a discussion, then let them know what else they can do. Sometimes people might think, oh, I'm gonna save the world. I'm gonna get a reusable straw and I'm gonna have reusable bags and I'm gonna have a reusable coffee cup and I'm doing great. And they are. That's a great start. But there's so much more that they can do. People don't know about shampoo bars. People don't know about produce bags. People don't know about a lot of this stuff that we've talked about. And now is your chance to tell them about it. So go ahead and start the conversation and start educating others about what else they can do to really start making an impact on this earth. And that is how I want everybody to celebrate Earth Day. The next episode will be on April 22nd, which is the actual Earth Day. So when you listen to that episode, you'll have already had a chance to talk to everybody and help get them prepped and ready and excited for Earth Day. You will already have the buzz of excitement going out there and spreading around. Start now. Start planning now for Earth Day. Start telling other people about Earth Day and get excited for it and find different ways to celebrate. And let us know about your adventures. Take pictures, make posts, and share them on the Starting Sustainability Facebook group. I like to see what everybody else is doing. I like to see, everybody does, I think everybody likes to see that we are a group united together and that our efforts are making a difference. And it's really cool to see what people do. These are my ideas, but if you have different new ideas, great. I love that. I want the feedback and share it with everybody. All we are doing is creating one giant group within the Facebook community and making a massive impact for everyone around us. Continue saving the world, Sustainer Nation, and I'll talk to you all again on April 22nd.